Hello, everyone. I want to thank this morning the elders for giving me the incredible privilege of being able to share with you what God has put on my heart. Today, we continue our series, Walking with God, and I'm doing part five, and the title I have is Putting Your Hand in His. I believe that God has always intended that we walk with Him, and I feel the Bible has shown us this, especially if we look at Genesis 1:26. It says, "Let us make man in our likeness." And when God says that, He's not saying that He wants to make us look physically like Him, because as we understand, God is spirit. What He intends is that He wanted to make us in His spiritual personality and moral likeness, and so that we would look and act just like Him. And the reason He wanted to do that, He explains further on, because He says, "Now let us give them dominion," or complete authority, over everything that the birds in the air, the fish in the sea, everything that creeps on the earth. The whole earth is to be under their authority. And what we were to do was extend His kingdom and be His administrators on earth in His spiritual personality and moral likeness. Unfortunately, what happened was that at a certain point, Adam and Eve, although they had been walking in perfect fellowship and oneness with God, the devil came over and he made a suggestion. He said, did God really say? I find it interesting that his bag of tricks is actually very limited, and he still, today, will try and get us to question God's word. Did God really say? And once he gets them kind of thinking and questioning God's word, he then throws out this great idea. He says, "You know, you actually could live your way and be like God. You could do things your way." And they start thinking about it, and they go, that sounds pretty good, right? I could do things my way, live for me, come up with my ideas, and do what I think. And so they buy into that story. And unfortunately, what happens then is sin enters the world. Because before, everyone who had been born of God, when they were born into God's spiritual personality and moral likeness. But once Adam fell, everyone was born into Adam's spiritual personality and moral likeness, or what I like to call the way of living, doing things my way for me. Now, unfortunately, that was not how we were created to live. Whether we believe it or not, and whether we accept it or not, does not change how God has designed mankind.
Yeah.
We were made to live for God and for the benefit of others. You see, if living for ourselves was what we were created to do, then selfish people should be the happiest people, most fulfilled people in the world. Now, if you know selfish people, anyone who's a selfish person, you probably realize they don't look that happy and they really aren't fulfilled. Have you ever thought to yourself, you know, if I could just have all the money I needed, I would be fulfilled. I'd be happy. Life would be grand. I could do what I want. I could go where I want. I could have what I want. The problem with that, once again, as we look at it, is who's at the center of all those wants? It's I. It's all about me. But remember, we were never designed to live for ourselves. We were designed to live for God and the benefit of others. Because if having all the money you wanted would make you fulfilled and happy, then the people in the world who we know who are very wealthy would be the most fulfilled and happiest people in the world. But unfortunately, we hear many stories of tragedy that stalks them and follows them, of lives lost, of great unhappiness. So you see, money does not solve your problems. Living for self will never be enough, because you were not designed by God to live that way. But unfortunately, again, what happened with Adam's fall is that perfect unity with God, where we could walk with Him and fulfill our original purpose and design, was broken. And there's nothing that could ever be done to fix it. There's nothing you or I could do to ever restore ourselves back into that original position. We were without hope. But God, you see, God is love. And if you wonder, what does love look like? Go to 1 Corinthians 13. God actually has a list for you. And if you go through the list, you'll see what love looks like. And at the very end, he tells us that love never fails. Well, God is love. So from the very beginning, he had a plan. And he tells us that plan in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. So God had a plan, because he knew there was nothing we could do. We were stuck in sin. And that's why in Romans he says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to get better or do something, because there was nothing we could do. So Jesus Christ, who was and always has been and always will be fully God, came to earth, was born of a virgin, and took on flesh, was born and lived as a man. He was still fully God, but he chose to live as a man. And the reason he did that was he wanted to model for us what life could be like for those who would receive him as Lord and Savior and live empowered by the grace of God through Holy Spirit. Because if he lived life as God on earth, when he tells us, now go and do the same things that I did, you now go do, we could justifiably say to him, well, I can't do that. I'm not God. But you see, he didn't do what he did as God. He did what he did as man, empowered by Holy Spirit. So Christ came to earth. He died, taking upon himself the blame and the punishment for our sin. God let him who had no sin, Jesus, to become sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. That's right. That when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are restored to our original position and we can actually say, I am once again the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because when God looks at us, he sees Christ. Because it was a blood covenant that was made with God, blood had to be shed for the remission of sin. Without the blood of Jesus, there would have been no forgiveness of sin. But did you ever think about why did it have to be such a messy death? Could not have blood have been shed in a neater way? Because when we look in Isaiah, it says that by the time they had finished beating him and crucifying him, he did not look anything like a person. He was unrecognizable, marred beyond all recognition. I would like to suggest to you that's because that's what sin does to us. Sin is so brutal and ugly that by the time it finishes with us, we don't look like anything the way God intended us to look.
Yeah, good.
So Jesus dies, but he tells us before he's going to die, it's good for me to go, because if I go, I'm going to ask my Father, and we're going to send you another helper. And now the word another in this case means one exactly like me, the same spiritual personality and moral likeness. And he will be with you, not sometimes or on Sundays or on your good days. He says he'll be with you forever. Now Jesus, as we know, was fully man on earth, lived, though he was God, lived, remember, he lived fully as man. And he did what he did, it tells us, because the Jesus of Nazareth was anointed by Holy Spirit and went about doing good and destroying the works of the devil. And so the thing that made it possible was he was anointed with Holy Spirit. God was with him. So we get to ask ourselves, is God with us? Well, according to Jesus, he is. That when you give your life to Christ and you surrender and accept his free gift of salvation, you become a Christ follower. And then Jesus, the Holy Spirit, comes and he lives with you and in you, so that now you too can go and live life under the anointing of Holy Spirit and do what Jesus did. Jesus didn't die so that he could get us into heaven. One day, as a Christian, a Christ follower, we will die and we will go to heaven and be with him forever. But that wasn't the purpose. That's kind of like that's a side benefit. The reason Jesus died was so that he could restore us into our original relationship with God the Father. that once again we can walk in unbroken fellowship with our Heavenly Father. You see, we are still, remember what our purpose is, we are still today to be living on earth in the same spiritual personality and moral likeness as our Father in heaven. We're to represent Him to every person we see. And as we live in His spiritual personality and moral likeness, we bring Him glory through all our interactions. The question we have to ask ourselves, though, is what do we believe? Do we really believe that Jesus is who He said He is and did what He said He has done? While I was preparing, I felt the Lord impress upon me the song Surrounded. It's full of great fundamental truths that we have as Christians. And I asked Jessica and Richie if they would sing over us this morning. So I would ask that you would sit down and relax, maybe even choose to close your eyes, and listen as they sing, and let Holy Spirit minister to your spirit. Is vital, because what we believe determines how we behave, and what we believe and how we behave determines how we walk with God. Do we really believe that Jesus' body and blood is enough to sustain us in any situation that we find ourselves in? Do we really believe that he has overcome? He said that in this world we will have trials and tribulations, but we are to be of good cheer. He didn't say don't be stressed out or be anxious. He says, no, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Do we really believe that he surrounds us? It can feel right now like we're surrounded by COVID, but he says that he hems us in, that he goes before us, behind us, that there's nowhere we can go that is apart from his love, that his goodness and mercy, do we believe that it's following us even now? And how do we fight our battles? Do we understand that we don't have, we only have but one enemy, and that's the devil, that people, in fact, are not our enemy, that our parents, our children, our spouses, our co-workers, they're not our enemy. We have one enemy, and he hates all people. And the people who are irritating you right now, he's just as intent as destroying them as he is as destroying you. But God says to us, we don't war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in unseen realms. But he also tells us that our weapons are not carnal. They're mighty unto God to pulling down strongholds. And strongholds are mindsets that are opposite or in opposition to God's spiritual personality and moral likeness. We have two weapons that are mentioned in this song, praise and thanksgiving. How do you use those? When you find yourself in a difficult situation, how do you respond? Well, if you believe that God is good and that he works all things together for your good and that he is making you into the image of Christ, that will influence how you behave. For instance, if you have to go to a job that you don't enjoy, do you respond with, oh, God, get me out of this job. I hate my boss. I hate my work. This is awful. I go there, all I have to do is hear them swearing. They're so negative. God, get me out of this place. Or do you respond with, God, thank you that you are using me to represent your spiritual personality and moral likeness in a place where people would never choose to look for you. That you have placed me to shine in the darkness. Thank you that you're with me as I do this, because your heart is to love these people and let them see how good you are. I know we can be tempted at times to look at our lives and say, it's not fair. But again, I want to ask you, who told you life was fair? If you read the Bible, you'll see it doesn't say that in there. And if you look at Jesus' life, you'll understand that life, in fact, is not fair. But remember, Jesus has overcome the world, and we can be of good cheer. When we find ourselves in situations that are challenging, what if, instead of looking at people to get our value and our affirmation, we kept our eyes fixed on Christ, who tells us is the author and perfecter of our faith? What if, when we're tempted to think, nobody loves me, I don't really have any value, nobody cares, nobody sees me, that instead of letting our thoughts get fixed there, we actually choose to look at the cross? Because you see, the cross settled those questions once and for all. The cross declares across all your yesterdays, todays, and tomorrows that you are valuable, that you are loved, that you have always been wanted, that you have a purpose and a destiny to fulfill, that you are to represent God here on earth, to reveal his spiritual personality and moral likeness. How about when you face a difficult time, you do so with joy? And you may say, well, isn't that denial? Or you may have people say to you, how can you be happy? I don't think you're living in reality. But one of my favorite stories is Paul and Silas. There they were, beaten to such an extent that we find later they have to be ministered to, and their wounds have to be dressed. They're chained to a wall in a prison. Now, prisons back then were not like prisons now. They were probably having to stand in feces and urine There were rats, and who knows what else. The stone walls are cold and damp. They're manacled so they can't move. And what was their response? Oh God, how could you do this to us? Where are you? We're preaching the gospel. We're doing what you wanted. How could you let such a thing happen? No, in fact, what they did was they sang and they worshiped. They praised and they gave thanks. And what happened? The very foundation was shaken. The doors were burst open. Their chains fell off. But an even greater thing happened. A jailer and his family came to know Christ. They were restored into their original position with God. I'm sure their fellow prisoners might have looked at them and said they're in denial. But maybe there were some who looked at them and thought, I wonder what they have. I would suggest to you maybe they were living not in denial, but maybe in a supernatural lifestyle. And when you live in a supernatural lifestyle, people too will look at you and go, what do you have? How can you do that? And that's when you have the incredible opportunity and privilege of introducing them to Jesus. Through Christ, God has been stretching out his hand to all mankind and inviting them to walk with him. That has never been the question, does God walk with us? The question has always been, will we walk with God? Today, God is asking you, will you walk with me? I want to urge you. I want to compel you. Would you say yes? But today, would you stretch out your hand? And would you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Would you let him empower you through Holy Spirit to be his representative here on earth, to walk with him, revealing his spiritual personality, his moral likeness, his goodness, his love to everyone you meet? Say yes today. And if that is you, and you'd like to either share that decision or have someone pray with you, we have people who are waiting to pray. If you look underneath, you'll see Words of Knowledge, and there's a link there, and go to that link. We have people who are willing to pray for you for anything you've heard today and any other need you have. Let's go forth today, and let's live and show God's personality to the world, so that the glory of God can cover the earth as the water covers the sea. Have a wonderful week.